So that the example is given that the second class is that even if a person acts in a contrary way still, and then he says that still one will reciprocate favorably, one will serve. The third category is one who neither returns favorably or neither does he act contrarily. And he says this is further broken down into two categories. The first is somebody who's atmaram, someone who's self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything. You give, but he doesn't need. He says the first is someone who's atmaram, and the second, he says, is somebody who's ungrateful. The ungrateful person is just like, he gives again, I think, the example of a parent to the child. That the parent may do so much for the child, but the child will be ungrateful. Or he also gives the example of Guru Druha. Right? That the parent or the spiritual master may give so much to the disciple, but the disciple will be ungrateful for what the spiritual master is giving. So in this way, it's explained that Krishna was indirectly indicating that although he is self-satisfied and doesn't need, still, he says, he's never ungrateful. He's always grateful. Whenever somebody, in loving exchanges, anybody offers something to the Lord with love and devotion, he's always grateful for that. And his nature is that he's very eager to accept from a devotee who offers with love. These are loving exchanges between the Lord and his devotees. We're talking about what is love. Love means the devotee wants to please. No other agenda. He simply wants to satisfy. Please the Lord. And he doesn't want anything back in return. He's not interested in karma. He's not interested in jnana. He has no other agenda. He's not thinking, I'm worshipping the Lord in order to obtain something, some material boon, some material benediction. Prahlad Maharaj said that when Lord Nrisingadev wanted to give him a benediction. And he said, Lord Nrisingadev asked Prahlad, please let me, and Prahlad said, hey, you know, I think Maharaj, you gave this example the other day, didn't you? Don't tempt me. Don't you know I was born in a demoniac family? I'm not a merchant. Please don't tempt me like this. I'm not serving you for this purpose. So why are you trying to tempt me by offering, please, only designation that we should have is that you be my master and let me be your servant. I want nothing else except this. Right? I'm not. So of course, Prahlad Maharaj was showing that in loving exchanges that the devotee, he never wants. He doesn't expect anything in return from the Lord. Of course, he expects his mercy. But how that mercy will come? Well, sometimes it's not so easy to digest. Sometimes we have a tendency when something really good happens, we immediately categorize it. Oh, this is Krishna's mercy. But if something unpleasant happens, what is it? There was that one story I heard. One devotee said to Prabhupada, maybe one of you remember. He made a foolish mistake. He said to Prabhupada, this is Krishna's mercy. And Prabhupada said, no, this is not Krishna's mercy. It's your stupidity. So sometimes we may just kind of categorize something that's Krishna's mercy. Oh, Krishna's mercy. You know, like some kind of it's a little mixture. Something that looks good, a little, I can enjoy this, enjoy that, and we'll immediately categorize it as Krishna's. But if something happens, then, why did Krishna do this to me? Sometimes it's not so easy to see it as Krishna's mercy. Right? So we have to be very, very careful. Yes, certainly Krishna will reciprocate. He'll give his mercy, just as we quoted in that verse. Lord Chaitanya is very inclined to accept from the hands of his devotees something which is offered with faith and love. He's immediately ready to accept it from his devotee. And he's always inclined to reciprocate by bestowing his mercy upon them. So how he bestows his mercy, we have to be prepared for. However he'll give it. And we have to be very careful not to just simply categorize something as mercy if it is immediately gratifying to our senses, our mind. We have to understand that the Lord's pleasure is is actually what we're aspiring for. And if the Lord is pleased to bestow His mercy in this way, then I'll accept it as His mercy. Prabhupada said, yes, yaham anuganami hadashye tatsunam shunai. Right? He said that about Himself. The Lord was particularly very merciful to me. When He's particularly merciful towards somebody, what does He do? He may take everything away. And someone may say, hey, wait a minute. I'm not ready for that yet. Be merciful. We immediately turned the whole criteria, categorized mercy. Please be merciful and don't take it now. I'm not ready. No. The Lord knows. He knows how to bestow His mercy upon His devotee. So therefore, His mercy is, we have to be prepared for however He'll reciprocate some loving exchange. And therefore, that is devotional service which is rendered in this way. That means devotional service which is rendered favorably. If the only criteria is, Krishna, as long as you're pleased, that is all. You can bestow your mercy upon me in whatever way you see fit. You can handle me roughly by your embrace. You may make me broken hearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything, but I'll still serve you. Right? Prabhupada would oftentimes quote that verse of Mukti Pade Sadayabhat, Tate Nukampam Susa Mikshanano. One who tolerates your compassion, one who accepts your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse activities due to his past sinful activities, who goes on serving you with his body, mind, and words, goes on glorifying you, right? He certainly becomes a bona fide candidate for liberation. Mukti padesa dayabha. He goes on. He accepts, yes, whatever difficulties come my way, they've come my way because of what I've done in the past. I'm reaping. I've noticed this. Somebody has a t-shirt. I've seen it many times here. That, look before you leap. What is it? Don't just do it, because as you sow, so you will reap, right? I've seen the t-shirt. I was making note of it. Somebody was wearing it in the kirtan. I saw it many times. Look before you leap. Don't just do it. Because as you sow, so you shall reap. So we should understand, yes, if some difficulty, I'm undergoing some difficulty, some inconvenience, I'm not going to blame Krishna for that. That's my doing. Why should I blame Krishna for that? That's His mercy. That's His mercy. He's simply given. Prabhupada would so many times in reference to this verse, he would say, this is token. Krishna's being so kind to His devotee that He's minimized that which the devotee should have gotten. And He's minimized and given simply some token. And the devotee's gratefully accepting whatever you're giving. Of course, sometimes we may hear this theoretically, philosophically, but when we're faced with adversities, its application is not always the easiest to apply. But at least we should look at the examples. We should hold on dearly to the examples which are given in Bhagavatam, and we should see how merciful the Lord is to those devotees who do think that way. That's what faith means. That's what Shraddha is. Shraddha means with having faith that when I hear it happens to the pure devotees and I see how it happens in Bhagavatam, I have faith that that's how the Lord works. That's a devotee. Actually, that's explained. That is what separates a devotee from the jnani and the karmi. The devotee has awakened his faith. Having awakened his faith and hearing the discussions of my activities and pastimes, the verse in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna describes the characteristics of the devotee. He's awakened his faith and hearing my pastimes, my dealings with my devotees. He's awakened his faith. Knowing that all sense gratification leads to suffering, being disgusted with material activities, but still not being able to fully give up sense enjoyment. My devotee should remain happy, and he should continue to worship me with faith and devotion. Even though my devotee knows that sense enjoyment leads to suffering, he will sincerely repent for whatever sense gratification he engages in. So the point is that the devotee is one, he's awakened his faith. He sees how the Lord deals with his devotees. We hear the pastime. We heard the other day also the Lord's dealings with Mukunda. Such faith. Mukunda, he showed the Lord how much faith he had in the words of the Lord. I will receive. That is all he heard. That's all he cared for. I will get. Even though 10 million births, I will get. That was, so the Lord, of course, is very naturally inclined to reciprocate such faith. And said, okay, call Mukunda now. 10 million births reduced to a few moments. Because how could I ever forget? How could I ever forget, Mukunda, somebody like you? I can never forget. How could I ever give up? The Lord always says that. Oh, how could I ever give up the association? Like he said to Shivas Thakur, how could I ever give up the association who does not even know death of his own, the loss of his own son? How could I ever give him up? He's only thinking of my pleasure. Shivas Thakur lost his son in the midst of the kirtan. And when all the relatives, family members, they were standing by and the lamenting over the loss of the son, he came in and saw what was happening. He said, don't you let this out of this room. If you disturb Mahaprabhu's ecstasy and kirtan, I'll tie a rope around my neck and I'll drown myself in the Ganga. Now simply keep it within. He was only concerned. Was the Lord's ecstasy, the Lord's pleasure. And the Lord said, oh Shivas, how can I ever give up somebody who doesn't even know the loss of his own son? So dear. The Lord can never give up such a person who only thinks of his pleasure. Of course, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda became his sons. Well, don't worry, we'll become your sons. So, this is the nature of that how the Lord deals with his devotee. And one who actually has faith in hearing these pastimes has such strong faith. Then, of course, then even though there may be great difficulties, upheavals in one's life, turbulences, we can remember these examples of the Bhagavatam. Take shelter in them. And by remembering, taking shelter, we can learn how to look at things within our own life and be prepared to accept all kinds of inconveniences. Our only concern is, how can I go on serving the Lord? In this situation, how can I go on serving the Lord? That is all. That is Shraddha. That is faith. Of course, the Lord says, go on serving by hearing. Hearing my glories. That is the most powerful, purifying process of rendering, of devotional services. Hearing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord in the association of devotees of the Lord. It prepares us for actually achieving the perfection of this life, which we should be looking for. Ante Narayana Smriti, as described in the Bhagavatam. The highest perfection that one can achieve, right? By perfect execution of his prescribed duties or by liberation from matter, right? Is Ante Narayana Smriti, is to remember the Supreme Lord at the time of giving up this body. This is perfection. This is what we want to achieve. We want to always remember the Lord. Therefore, we always have to be dependent upon the Lord in all circumstances and accept His mercy in however way He distributes it to us. And this way we can remember Him. So these are the nature of loving exchanges. The Lord says, I will never forget. I will never forget such a devotee. He told Arjuna, you declare it, Arjuna, that my devotee is never vanquished. If I say it, Prabhupada explains, if I say it, not everybody may not accept. But if you say it, everyone will have to accept, because you're my devotee. If you make a statement, certainly I'll uphold the statements of my devotee. The Lord always protects. He protects the vows of his devotees. He protects the desires of his devotees. He protects the heart of a devotee. Right? In this endeavor, there's never any loss or diminution. And even a little advancement in this path will protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. It's the path of bhakti, the path of devotional service. We should always be seeking of the protection of the Lord. And then one who's actually under that protection, one who sees the Lord's participation in his life, and sees his kindness and his mercy, however it will manifest, he'll always be protected by the Lord. gives us assurance. This is faith. So, therefore, in loving dealings, the devotee who is always anxious to please the Lord is always inclined to bestow His mercy upon that devotee. And as we have said, that bestowal of mercy upon the devotee, we have to be prepared to accept in whatever way, shape, or form the Lord will give it to us. That's how the Lord reciprocates our loving service. So these are the nature of loving exchanges with the Lord. But now, we're talking about the nature of loving exchanges between devotees. We have to get back now. But still, the criteria is still the same. It's not that love is different. There's one love for the Lord, and there's another type of love for devotees of the Lord. Now, as we explained, when we love the devotees of the Lord, and we want to actually serve and please the devotees of the Lord, the mentality should be that by serving this devotee and not expecting anything in return, I'm actually satisfying the Lord. This is my way to please the Lord. So the Lord actually describes that this is the nature of loving exchanges between devotees. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining the dati pratigrinati guyamakyati pichchati. He says that when this, in the association of devotees, when one is giving gifts, one is accepting gifts. Sometimes we think loving exchange means I give to him and he gives to me. Right? I'll do this for him, he does it for me. But no, actually, that's not the essential criteria of a loving exchange. If something is offered out of love, then if the love is there, then how can you actually please the person who's offering it? You will please the person by accepting it. It's been offered with love. He wants to please me. I must accept. I want to accept. I want to please him also. So I will accept. It's not that we're calculating that, oh, I'll take it and then, you know, I'll take it now and because I want it. This is all what I always wanted. I don't have to pay for it. No, it's being offered out of love. So we accept it because we want to please the person who's offering out of love. And the person who's offering, he's thinking, yes, I'm giving it to him. I want him to have it. He's not thinking, I'm giving it to him so he remembers 3 weeks from now when it's time for, when I know I'm going to need something. No, that's not love. These are not loving exchanges. Right? The secondary criteria is there's no motives. There's no expectation of something returned. It's given. No strings attached. Right? A common English expression. No strings attached. There's no hooks. So these are, when in the association of Vaishnavas, we should actually cultivate these kinds of loving exchanges between Vaishnavas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when a Vaishnava comes to your home, then you should accept a Vaishnava, you should feed him, you should serve him, you should look for ways to please him and satisfy. Right? Because this is our, by satisfying a devotee, we're satisfying the Lord. And the devotee will simply humbly accept, although feeling himself unworthy of such service, not expecting such service, he will accept the gracious love and offering being performed by the host. And he accepted as an offering of love. And these types of loving exchange, the same way with giving gifts. We give something to a devotee. We want to give them because we want to please them. We want to satisfy them. Sometimes we may even give that which may be most valuable to ourselves. But because we want to give that which is most valuable, we'll give our most valuable possession we have and we'll give it to someone we love. Because they're so dear to us. That's what Krishna does. Krishna gives his most valuable possession to his devotee. He gives his heart. Nothing else of any greater valuable, greater value. When a devotee gives his heart to Krishna, Krishna says, I'm going to give my heart back to him. That's the only thing he wants. Doesn't want anything else. So he gives his heart. So sometimes in loving exchanges between devotees, we may give something that's very valuable. But we give who we want to please. So these are loving exchanges. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says then, What is association? This is association. And what is unholy association? Unholy association means we have to be very careful about dealing with materialistic persons, especially atheists, those who are envious, antagonistic towards the principle of bhakti. We have to be very careful, and we have to reserve and not exhibit love. You exhibit love, they don't know what love is. Prabhupada also warns us. He said that because we're still sadhakas, we have to protect. We have to be very careful. Certainly, if we try to imitate the Uttama Adhikari, Prabhupada talks about in the Ishopanishad, he said, we should not be very careful not to imitate the Uttama Adhikari, who really has the perfect understanding of universal brotherhood, because he's completely free from all bodily identification. He's unable to understand the position of the Lord and the Supersoul and a living entity. He sees everything clearly. One who sees all living entities in spiritual sparks and quality one with the Lord, he is a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? He sees everything clearly. He has spiritual vision. So such persons should not be imitated. And we should be very careful in not imitating those who are actually can actually deliver those who worthy of being neglected. Upeksha. Sometimes we see that even the offenders or those who are worthy of being neglected, they may be delivered by the mercy of a very powerful Vaishnava. But we should be very careful as sadhakas to protect. And that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. Because if we're not careful, and we reveal our mind too confidentially, too much loving exchanges, this person is not thinking. This person doesn't know the meaning of love. He's thinking, he's just simply accepting, and then he wants to give something in return. And we have to be very careful of the kind of entangling relationships we'll have with those persons. He said instead, we have to perform it as the duty. We simply do it as a matter of duty. What is that? I think there's a verse in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam with Prahlad Maharaj, his teachings about high ideal household life. Right? If there are requests from family members, you know, then, oh, why you should do this from the father or from the mother, from the wife or other family members, they're saying, then he said, externally, the household, he should externally agree. He said, yes, externally agree, but within his heart. He should always be very careful to not accept something which will make his life too cumbersome, will actually forget the goal of life. Right? So out of duty, we say, yes, I agree. Sounds like duplicity or deceit or something, it may be. But actually, no. It's protecting. If somebody's making a demand that's going to, if we know that it's going to be very, very difficult, we dutifully we can do it. We perform it as a matter of duty. But we have to be very careful how we'll allow ourselves to get entangled in that commitment or obligation so that we don't forget the goal of life. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is specifically speaking about this in relationship to family. If we have bad association, even within the family, it may be there. Oftentimes I get this question in the former Soviet Union so many times. And unfortunately also I've seen so many mothers with children and no husbands. You know why? Because they're thinking, how can I live with this person? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling us how to live. Out of duty, you do this, but reserve your love. But this is how you live. You just simply, I have duty. I have duty to children. I have duty to my family. But even such persons are antagonistic. We can still survive if we keep our friendly relationships, our loving relationships with devotees. When we have those loving relationships with devotees and we actually experience this love, this will give us the strength to go on, even in the face of so much adversity, of having to be in this physical proximity of such unholy association. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, association is not physical proximity. Association begins when there is love. And if one understands the difference and can discriminate properly, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, specifically addressing, oh sadhakas, please, understand, discriminate, understand the difference. And in this way, live in the association of devotees. Have loving exchanges with devotees. Hear the pastimes of the Lord in the association of devotees. Give gifts. Accept gifts out of love. Give charity out of love. Accept charity out of love. Reveal one's mind out of love. Inquire confidentially out of love in the association of those who are representatives of Krishna. Certainly we should be loving them. And we should be careful, especially those who are antagonistic. We cannot give it up. But we should perform them out of duty. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this is the nature of exchange. You'll be with materialists. Just like Prabhupada even gives the example. He says sometimes when a businessman has to go out to dinner with his clients. He goes out to dinner, they're sitting and eating together with his clients, and then it's to create a certain atmosphere. You know, so of course, if they're non-devotees, he does it. It's his business. He has to do it. But it's not that he speaks confidentially, reveals his confidence, you know, about all his devotee life. Of course, we gave the example last week, or I think it was. We told the story about some, it was an experience I had. I won't repeat it for those who are in Nigri. I told the story about how I was sitting on the plane once, and I was sitting next to a very wealthy businessman. And he asked me, I'll just summarize it very quickly. He asked me about myself, what I was doing, how I was living. And then after simply some time speaking a little bit about myself, then he started telling me about himself. And he spoke for, went on for about an hour and a half. He started telling so many confidential things about his own life. He was revealing everything about his difficulties with his children. He had an autistic daughter and, you know, his difficulties with his in-laws and difficulties with his wealth. He has so much money and he's not happy. And then all of a sudden he stopped after speaking for some extended period of time, about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and he said, you know, why am I saying all this? I don't even talk like this to my wife. You're some stranger. You sat next to me in the flight. You know, I don't even know you for more than a couple hours. I'm telling you something I haven't told any of my closest friends. And he said, actually, wait a minute. I don't even have any close friends. Why did I tell you all this? And then his face started to change. And I was getting a little worried. I said, oh. And he started looking out the window. I said, why? Why? And as he was looking, all of a sudden, this expression in his face completely changed. The big smile. He looked at me. He said, I know why. I said, what is it? Why? He said, because you're happy. You don't have a wife? You don't have any children. You don't have a job. You don't have a bank account. You don't have anything. And then he said, you weren't even disturbed. Because in the beginning he told me my sweater didn't match my clothes. And I said, oh, really? Thank you. He said, you weren't even disturbed when I told you your sweater didn't match your clothes. It was a new experience for him, you know, sitting next to somebody who didn't have all these things and was happy. So therefore, he felt like he had to pour his heart out. And then he asked, he said, tell me, you know, all right, now that I've understood it, how did you get like that? And then I told him about Prabhupada. The rest of the whole flight was talking about Prabhupada. And then I talked about Bhagavad Gita, and then he said, I want that book. He said, look, I'm a businessman. I know when something's valuable. I want that book. So sometimes they may be confidential to us, but it's not that we have to be confidential to them. Anyways, this is the nature of loving exchanges. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining to us, helping us to understand. I'll just continue. I'll finish. Just, it's a very short section. I'll conclude these instructions with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own words. This way he'll help us. And where is it? Sorry. I know it's here. Sandatyaga. Okay, here it is. So he says, there is no hope of achieving devotion to Krishna until one gives up unholy association in this way. A renunciate Vaishnava should accept whatever alms he receives by madhukari or begging at the house of an honest householder with the above mentioned consideration. He should always remember the difference between gross begging and madhukari. A grihastha Vaishnava should accept prasad, grains and drinks, in the house of another grihastha who has pure character. One should always be cautious about taking prasad in the house of a non-devotee and one with bad character. There is no need to speak further about this. Due to their pious activities, those who have developed faith in devotional service have a little intelligence by the mercy of Krishna. Due to that intelligence, they can easily understand the essence of the acharya's instructions. Therefore, only a few words are needed to instruct them. Those who have no pious credits have no faith. Even if they are given volumes of instruction, they will not understand a thing. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has given only a few words of instruction in his Sri Upadeshamrita. So that's how he concludes. One other point I just simply wanted to make. I said I would end with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but something else came to mind. I was explaining before that sometimes we may think that Lord Chaitanya's movement is meant for distributing love. So how is it that we're supposed to withhold love when we see that either those who are materialistic persons, how are they supposed to get love? But we can understand that although we have to be careful and protect ourselves from unholy association and understand the proper types of loving exchanges that take place between devotees and how to avoid unholy association. But what is it that's very attractive? What is it that will attract somebody's heart to actually really want to come closer to devotional service and awaken their faith is when they see loving exchanges between devotees. We have to understand that point. That's what Lord Chaitanya did. Lord Chaitanya, for 1 year continuously, he had his kirtans in the house of Srivas Thakur, and only pure Vaishnavas, Shuddha Bhaktas, were allowed. Anybody who had a little tinge couldn't get in. So he, and in the association of his confidential devotees, he was relishing the holy name of the Lord. He was relishing their association. He was fulfilling all of their innermost desires. He was experiencing such loving reciprocal exchanges with his most confidential devotees. And then what happens? Then with his associates, he took it to the streets. And he went out. He didn't go out alone. We worship Lord Chaitanya, who appeared with his associates. He came with his associates to show what is this love of Krishna. What does Krishna do when Krishna comes? He doesn't come alone. He brings his associates to show this is loving exchange. Brings his confidential devotees to come and to reveal, to see what is loving, the love. What Lord Chaitanya came to distribute this love of topmost devotional service, but he showed it in the association of his devotees. And when one sees loving exchanges between devotees, this is very attractive. Right? This is another purpose. We have these festivals so we can actually relish, taste the nectar of Harikatha in the association of devotees, the nectar of the holy name of the Lord. Such loving relationships between devotees, and then we go out in the association of devotees and show. It's not that it's simply reserved for here. We have to show by our own examples also the non-devotees and let them see. Let them awaken. Let them see, wow, look at these exchanges. I've never seen such things as this. Such loving exchanges as this. Look at how they love each other. Not expecting anything in return. Look at how they relish, just glorifying the holy names of the Lord. How they sit and discuss the topics of the Lord. relishing. Machchitamagata prana bodhiyaktak paraspadam. They're relishing these, deriving great pleasure. This is where they're getting their pleasure. And when they see devotees getting such pleasure in the association of devotees, then they think, wow, this must be something in all of this. So it's not that Lord Chaitanya's mercy is banned or barred to the non-devotees, although we may, as sadhakas, may reserve this love. But we should show them, as Lord Chaitanya showed. He took to the streets his Sankirtan movement and went everywhere with his associates, distributing these loving exchanges between himself and his pure devotees. And in this way, even the most fallen, even those patikpavana, to deliver the most fallen, the most fallen, the most sinful, the most degraded wretches, upon seeing the Lord and his dealings with his devotees, became so attracted that they were willing to give up all their sinful activities and become also confidential associates of the Lord. So this is at least how we understand these instructions given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in this way, if we discriminate and we live always building up our faith in the association of devotees, or by proper discrimination, accepting these loving exchanges in a healthy mood, healthy atmosphere, and increasing our faith in the goal, that the goal is to love Krishna. And how can I love Krishna if I can't love Krishna's devotees? We have no hope of loving Krishna if we can't love Krishna's devotees. This is our hope. So we love Krishna's devotees, and then, by the mercy and kindness and compassion, devotees, they give their kripa, right? They have their prema, they have love for the Lord, right? They have their maitri, their friendly, loving dealings amongst each other. They are kripa, they are merciful to those who don't understand. And upeksha, neglect, so it's those who are envious. Yeah. And if we learn how to properly discriminate, and in this way, we can actually maintain our faith in the goal of which Srila Prabhupada came to give us, this chanting purely the holy name of the Lord in the association of Vaishnavas. And we can all look forward to fulfilling Prabhupada's dream for all of us. Prabhupada's greatest blessing, benediction for all of us. When he came on the Jaladut and he said, "Oh Lord, how will I ever deliver them?" But certainly you can deliver them. Prabhupada prayed for our deliverance, all of us. And he wanted us all to achieve this perfection of life, to chant the holy name of the Lord purely, and to go back home, back to Godhead, and make this our last life, as we said the other night. Prabhupada said, "Yes, but don't take advantage. Make this your last life. Don't make your spiritual master come back." Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
What happened to the rich man, Maharaj?
What happened to the rich man? Oh, yeah. The one... He got a Bhagavad Gita. I didn't have one with me, but... I sent him an email, and then he got the Bhagavad Gita. But unfortunately, it was last year. I haven't had any correspondence with him since then. But I should actually try to write. He gave me his email address. I should write back to him again. Mahaprabhu?
Hare Krishna.
Oh.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, due to our conditioned nature, we are attracted to some devotees and we are not attracted to some. We see some material qualities in devotees. So is it all right that if we continue our relationships and develop relationships with devotees whom we find that they can be a good friends, though we are not so pure to see that they have got these spiritual qualities? Is it all right if we can?
Is it all right to maintain friendly dealings with somebody who has materialistic qualities? Is that what you're
asking? Yeah, no. Like for example, now I am attracted to one devotee. He's following all principles in everything, in all respects.
He's what?
He's following all the principles of devotional service.
Yes.
But my attraction for him is not because of some transcendental quality which he has, but due to something which he has some material skill. Like for example, if he's very intelligent and I'm attracted to intelligence. So I feel that, you know, I used to respect intelligent people. So when I find a devotee is intelligent, I feel attracted to him. So I try to develop a relationship with him. Is that all right, or we should try to go about this?
Certainly it is all right to associate properly. We even read in the purport that one should follow the regulative principles and keep association with pure devotees. So the point is that if, as long as we have association with devotees who are more advanced, right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains in the very beginning of Jana Sangha, he says, the word Jana means both male and female human beings. Srila Rupa Goswami has written in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sadho Sangha Svato Vare, a devotee should associate with devotees who are more advanced. Right. So as long as we don't lose sight that yes, if we keep association with devotees who are more advanced, those who are more advanced, and we maintain loving relationships with those who are more advanced by serving them, by inquiring confidentially from them, by revealing one's mind in confidence with them, if we keep healthy association, then certainly we can associate with another devotee who may not necessarily be the most beneficial association for us, but at the same time, because we have strength by that higher association, then we'll have the power to discriminate and how to associate with that other devotee. And there'll be no danger whatsoever in that association. And certainly if you're associating with a common service, that's another reason why you wouldn't be interested. If you have a common service or something, an interest in something that you're doing as service, then certainly you should want to associate with that devotee, because by serving him, by hearing from him, learning from him, you can use it for service to Guru and Krishna. But one should always associate with those who are more advanced and not be complacent to accept that I have association and this is it. Now I believe, Maharaj, you wanted to give some time also for Lokanath Maharaj, so maybe I shouldn't. I realize our time is limited. Lokanath Maharaj, you come and speak to us and give us your association. Please. Huh? Oh. Krishna's arrangement.
Take this opportunity to thank that wonderful devotee who asked this question yesterday about love in family. That was the password which has opened the whole file. This was practical love in demonstration, that Krishna says, if he gives so much, he gives so much. So that devotee has asked some sincere question, which has evoked a part of Maharaj's heart, loving heart, which has already drowned, just a drop has drowned all of us. So we would like to express our extreme gratitude to His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj, who not only drowned us all these last 3 days in Harinam, but also now through His loving Krishna Katha. So we will express our gratitude.
Hiyo! Hiyo!
Thank you very much.